Next weekend is the long weekend, and if you've got children or grandchildren, you might be having plans of going travelling. And if you do have children or grandchildren, you might be dreading the obvious question that I see some people mouth it out, and that is, are we there yet? What I find interesting about that question is I don't think it's just children that ask it. Now, sometimes, depending on your children, they may be asking it the moment you leave the driveway. But for others, I think it's something that even as grown-ups ask that question. And as I reflected on that during the week, I thought, we do, but I think for grown-ups, it's a little bit different. It's not when you're going away to go on holidays, but when you're coming home. Because it's great to go away, but it's so much better to come home. And sometimes we're asking, are we there yet? Because we just can't wait to get home. Well, today we're beginning a new series. We're looking at the book of Joshua, and I've called this series Taking Up Residence because it is a time where God's people enter the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is also called in the Bible the promised land, that God has promised to give them this land, and this is the land they're going to have. In verse 2, we read this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Now I can imagine here that Joshua and the Israelites might have been asking that question, are we there yet? Because this is not the first time that they've stood on this piece of ground. They were here 40 years earlier, where God had led them through Moses out of Egypt and brought them to this point. At that time, he reminded them, this is the promise I have given you. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word promise? Do you immediately think of promises that people have kept or you have kept or people have broken or you maybe have broken? Now, when you think of promises, do you have a positive response to them? Or do you have a cynical response or maybe even a negative response? So in other words, when you hear the word promise, you like to hear that word because you believe that people keep their promises. Or in a sense, do you have that cynical response of maybe when politicians tell us, I promise to deliver this to you, as long as they get something that they want? Or maybe a negative response, that whenever someone's made a promise to you, they've always let you down. How do you feel when you hear the word promise? Because we know that God's word is filled with promises that he makes for us. So when you, how you feel about promise, how do you feel about God's promises? Do you feel about them in the same way? Positive, cynical, or maybe negative? See, I think for Joshua and the Israelites, standing here on the edge of the promised land again, second time in 40 years, they may have been thinking those questions. Will God keep his promise this time? Or maybe the Israelites might have been thinking, should we actually listen to God this time? You know, we've been walking in the wilderness for 40 years. Has he kept his promise? We can't see him keeping his promise. It doesn't look like he's keeping his promise. What do we do now? And maybe today when you're sitting there and you're reflecting on your own life this morning, maybe you feel a little bit the same way. Maybe life isn't going as well as you would like. And you're just not sure how to respond to God in that. Maybe you're praying and God's not answering your prayers the way you want. Maybe you're starting to have a few doubts about God. Maybe you're doubting some of his promises. Maybe you're wondering what God is about. Well, if that's you today, I think you're right here with the Israelites. You're right here with Joshua on the side of the Jordan River. Maybe for you today, you've got your own, in a sense, Jordan River experience and you're trying to work out how do you handle or respond to God in this situation. And as we come to look at this book and we're going to see the answers to some of these questions, we need a little bit of background. We need to see what's brought us to this point. Now, a couple of years ago, I shared with you on the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 12, we looked at the opening verses and three great promises that God gives Abram. Now, that's about 400 years before this point with Joshua. God promised that he would give Abram and God's people land, that they would have many descendants, and they would be a blessing to all people as they followed God. Later in Genesis 17, God narrows it down and he says, this is the land you're going to have. He says, the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants, and I will be your God. Now, time has moved on since God made those promises. Abram became Abraham. You know, Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and Joseph and his family head to Egypt. At that stage, they only numbered about 70 people. If you thought about God's promises, they don't seem to be working out. But then God blesses his people in Egypt and they start to multiply. And the Egyptians don't like that. And so they start to enslave them. They start to really mistreat God's people. God's people cry out to God. Because even though they're multiplying, yes, they could see that promise starting to happen, but the rest of it, they don't see it. So they cry out to God for help, and God sends them the deliverer Moses, who with God's help leads them out of Egypt. Now for Moses, he was God's man to lead them, and he brings them to Mount Sinai, and he talks face to face with God. He receives the Ten Commandments. And even at that time, Moses became discouraged with God's people. Because do you remember what God's people were doing? When Moses was up the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, what were the people doing? They were down the bottom of the mountain building an idol. Because God made promises, he's not keeping them. And here comes Moses down the mountain carrying the stone tablets. These are the commands of God. And he breaks them because the people didn't want anything to do with God at that point. We see further on that God's people started to even turn against Moses to the point where they wanted to stone him, to kill him, and they wanted to return to Egypt. They turned their back on God. See, God had led them then to the edge of the promised land. Moses sent 12 spies into the land as God had commanded him to, and the book of Numbers records what that situation was. When the 12 came back, 10 of them said, "We can't do this. There are giants in the land. We need to run away." They didn't believe in the promises that God would keep his promises and give them the land. They looked at the physical world around them and said, "It's too hard. Let's just run." And they wouldn't listen or trust in God. But there were two spies who did, Joshua and Caleb. They did believe God. They urged Moses and the people, "Let's go in. Let's take hold of the promises of God." Moses' response, "The majority wins. We'll go with the 10 who said, 'Don't go in.'" And so they turn away from the promised land, and symbolically, they turn their back on God. It was an act of disobedience. They didn't enter the land. God had said, "This is my promise. I am going with you. I'm going to give you this land." And they said, "God, it's too hard. We're going the other way." In punishment, God said that their whole generation, including Moses, would die out except for Joshua and Caleb. That they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. For God's people at that time, they were asking the question, what about God's promises? He promised all this, and now we're wandering in the wilderness. Where is God? Where are God's promises? But in a way, their question's the wrong question to ask, because God had never changed. God's promises had never changed. God had always been working out his promises. What had changed? The people had said, we know better than God. And they turned their back on him. See, God, even when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, he went with them, he led them, he protected them, he fed them, he watered them. And what was, and we've touched on this in the past when we've looked at, what was their response again? What did they do the whole way through? They grumbled. They complained. Can't we have something else to eat? More water? Come on, God. You can do better than that. They grumbled and they grumbled and they grumbled. Moses dies out. The people die out. Joshua, Caleb, and the rest of the Israelites are back again 40 years later on the edge of the promised land. Joshua didn't know whether he could truly lead God's people, even though God had told him to lead God. He didn't know he could. He didn't know himself whether God would fulfill the promises again this time. And so God takes time at the beginning of Joshua 1 to really explain to Joshua and the Israelites again that God is the promise keeper, that he's made them and he's kept them. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. God spells it out clearly. He will give. He will provide the land he'd promised back in Genesis 12. The land he spelled out. This is the land I'll give you in Genesis 17. God says, I've promised it. I'm going to give it to you. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. God says, I'm keeping my promise. I've always been keeping my promise. I am the promise keeper. But it's not just the land that he promises. Look at verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then jump down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God promises not just the land, but he promises that I will always be with you. I will always be present with you. Now, 40 years earlier, the promises were the same. God hadn't changed his promises. All through the wilderness, God's promises had never changed. Now, again, 40 years later, on the edge of the promised land, God's promises had never changed. Why? Because God is the one making the promise, not man. The promises of God are dependent on God, not on man. And God's people should realize that they can believe it. They can trust that God will keep it. But God also needs his people to respond as well. 40 years ago, God had said, this is the land for you. Take up your promise. What did the people have to do then to take up the promise? 40 years later, standing on the edge of the promised land, the same spot, God says, take up your promise. What do they have to do to take up their promise? How do they have to respond? Sounds very simple. 40 years ago, they couldn't do it. What do they have to do? They just got to walk across the water. They just have to enter the land. They have to cross the Jordan River to show that they believe and take up the promises of God. But God doesn't want the people to make the same mistake again. And so here he gives them three instructions of how they can cross the river and respond to the promises. Down in verse 8, keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. To take up the promises of God, to take hold of them, they need to know them. They need to know that God will keep them. And they need to believe it and follow it. Did you notice there the three ways he told them to do it? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. They needed to remind themselves of the promise of God. They needed to remind themselves of the Ten Commandments. They needed to remind themselves of all the teaching they'd received from God. They needed to not just hear it and then forget it. They needed to hear it and then talk about it and then share it and pass it on to other generations, to the young ones within them as well. See, and it's the same for us. That is how we can keep the book of the law on our lips, or for us, the whole of Scripture. But he also tells them, meditate on it day and night. Now, we sometimes think today when you hear the word meditation, someone's sitting down cross-legged, humming and doing other things. But meditation just means going over the same thing over and over and over again. And that's the picture here. See, the picture in God's word of meditation is a good picture. It's a positive picture. It's reminding ourselves of God's teaching. It's reminding ourselves of what God has done, is doing, will do. And we keep it going over it and over it and over it. So it's in our mind and we can apply it. The third way he tells them here is so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. In other words, God says, just go do it. Remember it, talk about it, and then go live it. Verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. See, knowing the promises of God is more than just occasionally reading about it and forgetting about it. It's about regularly going over it, meditating on it, and learning from it, and then living it out. See, to take hold of the promises of God means to obey God, to live God's way, to follow what he wants and put his word first, not what we want. But will it be easy for God's people? Now, 40 years ago, they're in the same spot. Nothing has changed. And they walked away, disobeyed God and faced punishment in the wilderness. Will it be easy this time? Well, look down in verse 6 and 7 and 9. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. To take hold of the promises of God, they have to be strong and courageous. Because it's going to be hard work to do it. God knows it's hard for them to take those first steps to actually cross the Jordan River and to take up the promises that he's given them. You see, fear 40 years ago put them in the desert. Fear led them to disobey God. I wonder if you realize from Mount Sinai, where they received the Ten Commandments and they set from that point on to head to Canaan, to the Promised Land, if you were walking slowly, it would take you 3 weeks. It's taken them over 40 years. Fear has kept them in the desert. Fear has led them to disobey God. They wouldn't take hold of God's promises because of fear. One of the ways that they can show that they trust that God is the promise keeper is that first step when they step into the river. They need to step out in faith. They need to cross the Jordan and take up, they need to show no fear and take up the promise that God said, this is the land that I've given you. This is the land that I'm going to be with you in. As we go through this series, we're going to see how they respond. But I wonder today too, how do we respond? See, God's promises are the same. The great thing is exactly the same for the Joshua and the Israelites. God's promises don't depend on us. They depend on God. And we know that God will keep his promises. So like the words that he encouraged them to do, are we in God's word enough so that we actually know his promises? When we face issues in life and challenges and doubts and other things, do we know that God is still in control? Or do we think that he's not? Do we think that our issues or the world issues are bigger than God can handle? Do we ever start to think that the promises that God has made, if we love and follow Him, we'll get to be with Him forever? Do we ever start to doubt that? Do we start to lose our assurance that one day we will be with God forever? Do we study the Scriptures? Do we meditate on it? Do we talk about it? Do we then live it out? See, in the same words that He gave them as they entered the promised land, God said, "Be strong and courageous because I am with you." As we face daily life, do we face it as strong and courageous because we know that God is with us? See, God is with us every day, just like He promised the Israelites. And do we thank God for that? Do we praise God for what He's given us? Or like the Israelites who spent 40 years having all the blessings of God, and their response was just to mutter and complain. How do we respond to what God has given? See, today, do you have your own Jordan River that you need to cross? Do you, like Joshua, need to be reminded that God always keeps His promises? Have you taken hold of the promises of God today? That you know them, that you believe them, that you live them out? See, God's going to help the Israelites take up the residence in the promised land. And it all begins with knowing that God is the promise keeper. For us, God is ultimately going to take us to our residence. One day, He will call us home. And it all begins with knowing and trusting and living out that He is the promise keeper. Will we do that today and this coming week? Let me pray. Father, sometimes it's very easy to listen to the world around us, and it's very easy to take our eyes away from You. It's very easy to listen to the world and, in a sense, just like the Israelites did so many years ago, turn our back on You and walk away. But God, You and Your word have given so many promises, and You've kept every single one of them, and we thank You for that. We thank You that we can know for certain that the moment we start to love and follow Jesus, we are saved, we are Your children, we will be in heaven one day because You promised that and You keep Your promises. You promise that You will always walk with us every single day, and we know that You keep that promise as well. So Lord, help us to be strong and courageous no matter what we face, that we can face life and share that with others, because You are with us, that You are the promise keeper. Father, as we go through this series, as we look at how the Israelites respond to You in different ways, help us to learn from them as well. And we pray for this in Your name. Amen.